designed to help you navigate computer technology and the Internet. The show is hosted by Felicia King of Quality Plus Consulting and airs the first and third Saturdays of every month.
Good morning. I'm Felicia King, and you are listening to Breakfast Bites. The show today is going to be about USB-based malware, what you need to know about it, what you can do about it, and such. And I might go into other interesting things, such as backing up Active Directory properly, DHCP backups, DHCP whitelisting strategies. We'll see. But the primary topic is going to be about this USB-based malware that is running wild, and there is absolutely no fix for it whatsoever. The IT community has started to call this thing the unpatchable USB malware, and it is pretty bad doo-doo. If you go out to qualityplusconsulting.com and you go to the podcasts section and you look for the Breakfast Bites show from January 10th, 2015, you will find the links that are to various YouTube videos and articles that really explain this USB malware in detail. So if you are an IT person, I do highly recommend that you go look at those things. Or if you're just somebody who's interested in how technology can be utilized in malicious ways so that you can protect yourself against such things, then also go check out those videos. And so I'm going to try to give you the kind of the lowdown on what you need to know if you don't want to go watch those videos and read articles. So the bottom line is this. The USB standard is based upon universality, right? Universality. So it's a universal standard that is applicable across Apple computers and Windows computers and Linux, and this has some very significant implications. The other thing is it's designed to function on an, I assume you are, hardware basis, right? It's that sort of a thing. Like, I assume what you're plugging in here is some hardware that's going to communicate with me. And this has some pretty significant implications. Because if every single operating system assumes that what's getting plugged in there is a piece of hardware, it then assumes that what is going to communicate with it is something that is communicating on that hardware standard. Well, it turns out that the USB standard isn't as secure as it needs to be. And it has the opportunity to, I should say, malicious code that is on that standard or communicating across that standard channel is able to send seriously bad doo-doo. And that stuff is able to directly and deeply infect the hardware on that computer. It's so bad that it can actually lead to like a permanent compromise. Because again, imagine two pieces of hardware talking to each other at the hardware level. So it's literally at the firmware level. And the presumption is, it's hardware to hardware, so the presumption is, well, we're not going to scan it for malware, we're just going to assume that it is talking to us in the ways that it's supposed to talk to us. So there's this presumption of innocence there. Instead of assume everything is bad doo-doo and force it to prove to you otherwise. And so, let's say you were to plug in a USB device. And notice I said device, it wasn't just USB flash drive, because there have been hacks of other things like keyboards and mice as well. It is possible to pretty much hack the firmware of anything and then utilize the USB interface to be able to send this malicious attack. I mean, this is seriously bad stuff. And so it talks to each other at this firmware layer and the hardware firmware layer, and it presumes that what is being communicated is something that should actually be taken action on. And so it's given this like closer access to the kernel on the computer. And that means it's at a deeper layer. It's the presumption of you are authorized. And as a result, there have been some of these hacks that have been demonstrated that literally can extend then to infecting the firmware of many other devices on the computer. So this now becomes a handoff. So if an infected device is attached to your computer and your computer gets infected, your computer then basically becomes a permanent infection point. And it is then able to infect anything else that connects to it. And this has very interesting ramifications on many levels, because this USB backdoor can lead to remote access Trojan, and the remote access Trojan does not have to utilize the USB attack vector. It can basically do like what the rats at Target did. You know, when I say rat, I'm talking about a remote access Trojan. And this is a nasty little kit where there's an FTP downloader, a keystroke logger, a screen capture device, a, you know, password cache stealer, a file stealer, and it's even intelligent enough to notice when you're typically using the computer and when you're not, and it'll, like, leak data when you're utilizing the computer, so that if you're doing heuristical intelligence on egress filtering and you're looking at reports, you're not seeing some sort of aberrant large data uploads going on at a time when you knew darn well you weren't utilizing that computer. So these rats are that bad. But again, imagine it gets infected via the USB vector, but now this rat is on the computer. It can reach out to the mothership and download its little friends to enhance its remote access Trojan capabilities. Now, the really, really, really horrifically bad portion of this is that there is no way to detect or to prevent or to remove this thing, assuming one factor, which is you decide you're going to plug in unknown USB devices into your computer. And when I say unknown, this is what I mean. You're a college student and you have a computer, and your friend says, oh yes, well, I've completed my portion of the report, and here it is on my flash drive, and then you put their flash drive into your computer. Well, this is atrociously bad. Please do not do that. Basically, you should not be putting anybody's USB flash drive ever into your computer. Utilize secure FTP, email it to yourself, I mean something. Choose something that is some sort of internet file transfer thing, as opposed to doing it over USB. You can use USB flash drives if you went to the store and you bought yourself a SanDisk and you are only ever connecting that USB flash drive into your computer. I think one area where this is catastrophically dangerous is accounting firms that do taxes. It has been my experience that the only accounting firms that have adequate IT security practices in place are very, very, very large firms that are at a rate that is inaccessible to most small to mid-sized businesses, and certainly to individuals. I mean, you know, they're charging in excess of $1,000 a year just to do taxes. So unless you're some sort of a larger sized business, you know, that's not something that you're going to be able to afford. But yet, you know, you're looking to have somebody that can do your taxes, and you go to a shop that's recommended, and I'm sure that these are very highly competent accountants in that. But I have yet to see any of those, like, sole or dual practitioner or even offices where there's a partnership where there's three or four partners or two partners or something like that. I have yet to see any of those organizations actually have adequate IT security standards and practices in place. That is some scary stuff. And the reason it's so scary is that they're not getting competent IT advice on a regular basis to the point where who is telling them, no, don't have your clientele bring in USB flash drives and then plug it into your accounting systems. So now just imagine somebody, you know, unwittingly brings in an infected USB flash drive into said accounting firm. One of the accountants plugs it into a computer and goes, oh yes, thank you for your accounting files, blah blah, we will do your taxes. Well, next thing you know, that computer is infected, and whatever that user has access to is basically stolen data. And to make matters worse, these people will have no idea that they've been hacked. They will have no idea that the data is leaking to Russia and Czechoslovakia or China. They will have no idea because these firms don't have perimeter security appliances, and I mean security appliances, not just some firewall. They don't have heuristical logging and SIM logging. They don't have people looking at the trend patterns of data, where it's going, what that data looks like. So they don't even know. The presumption, I think, amongst most of these smaller organizations is that if something is funny, they're going to notice it. Well, I mean, I just think that's utter foolishness because look at Target. I mean, Target went on for 3 months with these remote access Trojans leaking data before they noticed that anything was going on. I mean, I think it took about 3 months for FireEye to notice patterns. And then eventually, you know, they notified Target, and then Target decided to do nothing, which even exacerbated the problem even more. But ultimately, my point is that these are stealth nastyware. We're not talking here about scareware that pops up something in your face and you know some bad doo-doo is going on your computer. No, this is really hideously nasty stuff that gets on your computer and you have no idea. And it then sneaks your data and it sneak uploads it and you don't know that it's uploading it. So again, unless you're doing sophisticated egress filtering and then SIM logging and then the analytics on that logging data, you basically got no chance in heck of even detecting that data is leaking. And I just don't see mid-sized to small-sized organizations engaging in this stuff, even though they should. And the really frustrating part for me is that this stuff doesn't have to cost that much. I mean, when you look at what does it cost to have a thoroughly effective strategy in place, you're talking about less than $5,000 for an implementation, and that includes all the hardware and everything, okay? The hardware, the software, everything. But the maintenance cost on that is, I'm going to highball it. Let's say it's like $2,000 a year. This is clearly an accessible figure. And with that being said, I don't see any viable excuses for why it is that these organizations are not spending that amount of money in order to protect the data that, frankly, they have a fiduciary responsibility to do. And so when you decide who you're going to have do your taxes, I would certainly encourage you to not be sending your QuickBooks data file to anybody. As an alternative, you could simply print reports to PDF. You can burn these reports and other, you know, whatever other data you want to share, you can burn it onto a CD and then take that CD into the accounting office, or you could set up a Spider Oak account, and that's fully encrypted. Notice I'm not talking about Dropbox here because Dropbox is horrifically insecure. And if you think about encrypting the data before you upload it into Dropbox, I'm really not thinking that that's that viable of a strategy for two reasons. One is that most of the client-side encryption that's available out there nowadays is really not that great. But then there's another logistical problem associated with it, which is that does the accountant that you're having do your taxes, do they have that software to decrypt it, and do they have the technical expertise to make that work? In my experience, the answer to that is not so much. So, on the other hand, if you utilize something like SpiderOak, where you set up all of the security on your end, then you get them basically read-only access to your SpiderOak distribution. You can set up little subfolders there and put things where they can only see just what you've specified. Then they connect into this web interface and they're able to direct download that way. So it's qu certainly not as secure as if they loaded up the SpiderOak client themselves, but that's not necessary in order to make that work. So that addresses both problems. One, encryption of your data while it's wherever it's at as an intermediary. And then the other thing is the you're addressing the technical shortcomings of the skill of the people that you're interfacing with. And that's always something you have to be concerned about whenever you're using electronic means to share data. So again, you could just simply take the burn the stuff to a CD approach. For years, I have been advocating you do not send your QuickBooks file to anyone. I think there's, I should say there's one exception to that, which is that certainly the IRS, they changed their rules a couple years ago, and they basically said if you're audited, yes, you have to fork it over. They basically require you to fork over your entire accounting database, whatever that is. Now, if you're happening to use MIP or, Great Plains or Dynamics or something like that, then not entirely sure how that works. I mean, that sounds like a ginormous SQL database dump, and have fun with that, IRS, is what I have to say about that. So, I mean, if they're looking for that kind of pain and frustration, then they can have at it. All right. So the bottom line here is please do not put USB flash drives in your computers that you did not acquire yourself and that you do not know the entire history of where that thing has been. You really desperately need to know where that thing has been. If you don't plug it into your computer because there is no coming back from this hack. There is no fix other than to like replace the computer. And in the meantime, you don't know what this stealth nastyware is doing. Now, I mentioned before about how this affects Apple computers and Linux as well. Yeah, this is the really frightening piece. This is not some sort of, you can't just check out on this saying, oh, I have an Apple computer. Well, no. Guess what? Apple computers get lots and lots of viruses too. There's specifically malware and all kinds of Trojans and nasty things that are written specifically to attack Apple computers. In fact, I saw a fantabulous video earlier in the week by this Apple hacker. He was great. He showed how it was really easy to get around the presumed security features in an Apple OS X or OS X operating system. And how he got around it is that, Apple makes they attempt to have enhanced security by making certain things mouse only actions. So the theory is that it's not possible to script malicious changes to configurations, like system state configurations. Well, this particular hacker guy, he just blew that entirely out of the water. And what he did was he showed that it's rather easy for you to figure out the size of a window and then where the buttons on the window are in relationship to that, and then to send a mouse move command, because a mouse move command is nothing other than like a USB keyboard command. I mean, it's all the same. And of course, then to send a, you know, a left mouse click, or in the case of a Mac, the only click it has, because it has no right click. And he showed that this theoretical security protection that these Apple computers had was just totally debunked, and how easy it was to get around it. It was a great video. And so the other thing with this USB firmware malware stuff that I've seen is I've seen several hacks demonstrated against Linux systems as well. Even Linux systems where no root access was available. Again, very bad to do. And that is because this USB stuff functions at the firmware level, so it's presumed to be able to talk to, it's presumed to be innocent, and it's given like a higher level access to the core of the operating system. So what you can do to protect yourself is don't plug unknown USB devices, and I'm talking even like mice and keyboards and things like that, because all of these things can actually be utilized to house nasty bad doo-doo. The highest probability device that you're going to run into that is probably hacked is a flash drive. The probability that a mouse or a keyboard is hacked is pretty small, actually, at this point. But the flash drive hack is, it's running wild. And the AV software, your antivirus software, your host-based security product, does not catch it because it's not using an auto-run or a software execution methodology. It's communicating to your computer over the USB hardware channel saying, I am some hardware, and I am some keyboard, you know, so it can fake like it's a keyboard and then start to do things. Now, the other thing you should know is you say, well, what if I'm going to go buy some new flash drive for myself and then just like use it just on my one or two computers? Okay. Well, I would highly suggest you get a SanDisk brand device. The reason is because I did research into what is vulnerable to this particular USB hack. And because it is so much based upon the corruption of the firmware or the hacking of the firmware of the device itself, literally the nasty thing corrupts and replaces the firmware that is on the USB flash drive and turns it into the malicious actor. I looked at what devices had firmware that was corruptible. Now, nobody has yet done a 100% certainty universal evaluation on this, because it would just be ridiculous to do an exhaustive study of that because of all of the different models and brands of USB flash drives out there. I mean, they're ubiquitous at this point. What I can tell you is that SanDisk makes their own firmware, and virtually everyone else utilizes firmware from a company called Phison. That's Phison, Phison. So while in the past I was recommending Patriot drives, and that is the brand Patriot, and again, I don't see anything hot burning wrong with Patriot either, especially if you were going to utilize Patriot only on your own systems. But if you don't need the enormous capacity that Patriot has, and you are okay with like something like 128 gigabytes or less as far as storage on your flash drive, which I would presume is probably just about all of you listening to this show, then a SanDisk is probably a better option for you, because SanDisk makes their own firmware. And because of the fact that they're making their own firmware, they have the ability to have a shorter life cycle for the firmware, which means that bug fixes get released more quickly. And, of course, that means you have to go out to their website and download the latest and greatest firmware and then reflash your device. So it's like anything else. If there's software updates or firmware updates for something, you still have to actually apply them. It's no different than your computer and BIOS updates, you know, or video card driver updates or firmware updates for your video card, anything like that. But the challenge with the Phison controller that seems to be, you know, and then of course the accompanying Phison firmware that goes with it. The problem with that is that Phison is effectively trying to engineer their firmware to, I'm not going to say lowest common denominator, but they are certainly seeking to have universal compatibility because their controller and their firmware is used so extensively across so many different platforms. Their goal is to make stuff that works for their customers, and their customers are companies like Patriot. And so they want to make sure that that stuff remains compatible. So I have not heard anything in the news or in back channels or on, you know, the hacking websites or anything like that. I haven't heard anything about how Phison is changing some strategy and saying, okay, well, we're going to go double down on security. So because of that, if I was going to go spend money on USB flash drives, I would buy SanDisk. Okay. So I got a couple more minutes left here and wanted to remind all of you that if you have a domain controller, you need to be backing it up using system state backup. And I would highly, and I can't stress this enough, highly recommend that you utilize the native wbadmin command line tool to do it. You may be sitting there thinking to yourself, oh, well, I'm doing system state backup already with my fancy pants software. And the problem is that you're not accommodating the need to do a DS restore mode, authoritative or non-authoritative restore of Active Directory. You can't do that except through the native tool, the native DS restore mode tool. That therefore means that you need to have backups of Active Directory that you could utilize in terms of in a time that you needed to do an authoritative or a non-authoritative restore of Active Directory. So if you never positioned yourself to have these system state backups accessible in the native format that DS restore mode expects them to be in, then they won't be there accessible to DS restore mode when you need them to be there. And if you say, well, I don't have additional disk space to be able to write this to because the server wasn't designed properly to accommodate that disk space, there is some trickery you can do. You could go out and buy one of these Patriot Rage drives, like the 256 gig models, and you can actually go to flashboot.ru, which, yes, I'm going to warn you, is a Russian website, and you'd pretty much need to view it in Chrome so that you can do the automatic translation for the entire page, but it is possible to get some software there that you can reflash the firmware or at least hack the firmware on your Patriot Rage drive to make it so that it no longer reports as reportable media. You cannot normally do system state backup to removable media. It has to be fixed disk. So if you're going to use a USB flash drive for that, you're going to have to hack it. Anyways, we're out of time. I hope you found this useful and entertaining, and have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Breakfast Bites, a program designed to help you navigate computer technology and the Internet. The show airs the first and third Saturdays of every month and is hosted by Felicia King. To contact Felicia, visit her website, qualityplusconsulting.com.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, Society's Assets has applications available for its 2015 scholarship awards. Students with disabilities are eligible for the scholarships. Applications must be received by February 1st. Visit societyassets.org. From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, A support group for those who have lost loved ones due to suicide will begin having meetings on February 3rd. They will take place